From WJCT in Jacksonville, this is Redux. I'm your host, Vince Kong, bringing you our weekly news magazine about the First Coast. It's Friday, October 14th. On this episode of Redux, we're going to look at solar energy. Proponents of harvesting the sun's power overwhelmingly supported Amendment 4 during the primary election. But if you're like a lot of people, you're probably trying to make heads or tails of Amendment 1, a question about solar energy on the November 8th ballot. And this question on your ballot might be less about solar energy and more about money. And then we'll bring you a story about a man, a boat, some solar panels, and a desire to spread the word about Amendment 1. And finally, if us humans on the First Coast think we got it bad, we're going to take a look at what Hurricane Matthew has done to the area's sea turtle population. But first, an update. Governor Rick Scott is ordering the Florida Department of Environmental Protection to investigate massive sewage spills after Hurricanes Hermine and most recently Matthew. As WJCT's Ryan Bank reports, heavy rainfall, power outages, and storm surges have caused utilities to dump millions of gallons of raw and partially treated sewage into the environment.
After Hurricane Hermine, 20 million gallons of sewage flowed into Tampa Bay. After Hurricane Matthew, more than half that amount, and counting, has discharged around Duval County. JEA CEO Paul McElroy says the utility did everything it could do to prevent spills and is now working with the state to assess what went wrong.
We anticipate working as collaboratively and as openly and directly as we can with FDEP. We reached out both to the governor and to the secretary. We had conversations with them yesterday.
Meanwhile, St. Johns County officials haven't fully calculated how much sewage spilled in their area, though they estimate it's at least 20,000 gallons. Boil water notices have been lifted across that county. When WJCT asked, the state didn't provide specifics on its investigation, but did say it will work with local utilities to gauge the long-term environmental impact of the spills. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
Hurricane Matthew also knocked out power for more than 200,000 First Coast residents. And with thousands still without power at the airing of this podcast, many JEA customers are asking, what's the deal? WJCT's Lindsay Kilbride met with one Jacksonville family whose patience is wearing thin.
Lindy Durance hasn't had power since Friday.
My laundry's full now, my dishwasher's full now, and I've been washing things in bleach.
Durance has a generator, and it's helped keep food cool for her and her family members without power. She has multiple refrigerators hooked up in an open garage.
These two right here, this is a side-by-side, a full freezer. These are my brothers.
A tree took down a power line near her home during Hurricane Matthew. It's still wrapped up in debris on the side of her road near Hexter Drive. Durant says she's been patient.
But this is getting a little bit out of what I call convenient, normal.
JEA told customers power would be fully restored before midnight Monday, and that didn't happen.
Then, to add insult to injury, they've called us every day and told us our power's on. So I called them and I say, nope, the power's not on.
JEA CEO Paul McElroy says restoration has been slowed because so many trees went down.
We've accepted all offers of assistance from utilities to come and help us restore power as quickly as we can.
He says more than 350 line workers and tree cutters from other utility companies are here helping, including crews from Oklahoma and Texas. At the height of the storm, more than half of JEA's customers were without power. Lindsay Kilbride, WJCT News.
And now, many Northeast Florida residents are making calls to their insurance companies after Hurricane Matthew. In a story set to air Monday on 89.9 FM in Jacksonville, WJCT business analyst John Burr spoke to one local agent about how big storms affect the industry. And he tells news director Jessica Palumbo all about it in this week's Business Brief.
Who'd you talk to, John?
Well, I talked to Matt Carlucci. He owns a State Farm insurance agency in San Marco, has run it for more than 30 years. He's a former city council president, very well-known guy. This time around, Matt says that most of the claims he's seeing involve wind damage, specifically fallen trees.
We haven't been hit by a hurricane since 1964, Hurricane Dora. And because of that, we have a huge inventory of large, heavy oak trees. And when you combine the extra weight that they acquire from the rain through the moss and getting into the wood and the soft ground, you just know they're going to start coming down.
That follows the initial statistics from the insurance industry regarding this hurricane. They're saying 90% of the claims are wind damage, 10% storm surge. The total damage in U.S. from Matthew has been estimated about $10 billion, about $6 billion of which is insured. Those figures will rise as more damage is reported in the days and weeks ahead.
But that still leaves about $4 billion that's not insured so far. What's included in that number?
A lot of it is damage from flooding, which a typical homeowner's policy doesn't cover.
Right.
And then in Jacksonville, Carlucci says there are a lot of trees that have just fallen in yards. They haven't hit homes.
Ah.
And if they don't hit a home, you're not covered for that tree removal. So he's seen a lot of homeowners, especially lower income ones, who, you know, are really stuck with a $4,000 bill or higher to remove an oak tree from their backyard. He says, fortunately, the city has set up a fund to help people to pay for tree removal if they can't afford that.
Obviously, when a big storm hits Florida, that's the insurance company's nightmare. But we haven't had a storm directly hit Florida in about a decade.
That's right. And what's interesting is in those years where we had no storms, dozens of smaller property insurance companies have sprung up and grown, and they've been able to grow because they haven't had to pay out the claims. And this all happened at the same time that the really huge companies, the Allstates and the State Farms, were threatening to leave Florida. So these smaller companies came in, they filled that void, and created their own market niches.
Some companies will say, you know what, our niche will be just newer homes. Some companies say our niche will be just older homes. Some companies say our niche will be South Florida, Central Florida, North Coastal.
With all the new property insurance companies in Florida, you have more competition.
Right.
It's not just three or four companies carrying all that risk. It's now 60 or 70 companies. Actually, it has resulted in some lower rates.
WJCT business analyst John Burr spoke with State Farm agency owner Matt Carlucci. I'm WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo.
And now we move on to Solar Amendment 1. Recent polling shows good news for advocates of the utility-backed solar amendment on Florida's November ballot. St. Leo University found more than 80% of voters support Amendment 1. But as WJCT's Ryan Bank reports, that doesn't necessarily mean they know what this amendment does.
A statewide mailer from the group Consumers for Smart Solar is urging voters to approve its constitutional amendment. The flyer includes the St. Leo poll results showing more than 80% of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents support it. Pollster Frank Orlando says it's going to have a good chance of passing.
Even though many of the people voting for it, if they knew that it would probably actually restrict the ability, for example, to sell solar to people, to adjoining properties, they might not be for it.
His survey of about 500 likely voters asked whether they support the amendment based solely on its ballot title language. Grants Florida residents the right to own or lease equipment that produces solar energy for personal use. But Orlando says the title is misleading without the ballot summary.
It's almost kind of surprising that the state Supreme Court allowed that verbiage to go through. Because it is going to be very misleading for voters.
Orlando says his poll does not show whether people agree with the proposal's details. When asked why Consumers for Smart Solar included the poll on its mailer, the group's Screven Watson says it's still a good indication of the amendment's chances.
Voters are intelligent. They're going to read, but a lot of times they make decisions when they're in that booth based on the title language.
Opponents of Amendment 1 say it's meant to consolidate private utilities' control of solar by giving non-solar users an explicit right to refuse subsidizing people who have panels. The title, they say, focuses only on one of the amendment's provisions, the right to use solar, which already exists in Florida. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
Now you get right to the procedure.
And now, a traveling protest against the amendment was launched Tuesday out of Jacksonville. WJCT's Jessica Palumbo reports that a boat covered with solar panels will be making stops all along the Intracoastal as it heads south.
The boat's called the Archimedes, or to Captain Carter Quillen, the Ark.
Welcome aboard the world's largest solar-powered concrete boat. So it's actually the world's smallest solar-powered concrete boat, too.
Solar panels line the roof. Along the side is a big banner that says Vote No on one. It's docked at Jacksonville's Metropolitan Park Tuesday.
The idea is that people are going to be like, why is the solar boat against the solar amendment?
Quillen, a self-described amateur activist, says voters should think about who's funding the Pro Amendment 1 Consumers for Smart Solar campaign. For-profit utility companies and their allies have poured more than $20 million into getting it passed. He says that's because they're afraid of losing money on electricity if solar takes off.
So I guess if you have stock in Florida Power and Light, you may want to vote yes on one. But you know, for everybody else, it's not a good thing.
Amendment 1 guarantees the right to use solar power, which Florida residents already have. But it also protects non-solar customers from subsidizing solar users. That could allow utilities to undo current solar tax breaks, including one voters overwhelmingly passed in August. The No on One solar boat tour is continuing south down the Intracoastal Waterway. Jessica Palumbo, WJCT News.
And finally, Hurricane Matthew claimed some 800 sea turtle nests in northern Palm Beach County as it skirted up Florida's Atlantic coastline. Sea turtle hatchlings, however, fared much better along Duval County's beaches. This is according to Jennifer Burns with Beaches Sea Turtle Patrol.
Our final nest of the season had emerged successfully about a week prior to the hurricane, so our nest didn't have any detrimental impact from the storm.
Burns says the concern now is young turtles that are washing back up on the beach after having made it successfully out to sea.
The volume that we're getting this year of washbacks is highly unusual. We might get two or three in a season that we rescue. We were getting, we got dozens of them this year, just since probably early September.
Burns is urging anyone who finds a sea turtle on the beach not to put it back in the ocean, but to call Beaches Sea Turtle Rescue.
They're really helpless. They need us to be able to rescue them because they won't be able to make that swim back out even if somebody puts them in the water.
Burns says her group overall has monitored 75 loggerhead and one green sea turtle nest this year. Both are protected under the Federal Endangered Species Act. And that's our show. You can find all of our audio and web stories at wjctnews.org. You can also stream this podcast as well as all of our on-air content on the WJCT app, which is available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. And of course, find us on your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe. Ryan Bank is also the host of Indie Endeavor, WJCT's only after-hours music program devoted solely to playing and discussing independent music. His show airs every Tuesday at 11 p.m. Here's a sample of what you'll hear when you tune in. Enjoy.
I was poor in love, I was poor in wealth, I was okay in everything else there was, oh, I was poor in love. I was poor in love. When the morning comes, to let them light your cigarettes. You worry that the words will send you running out the door. But if you block out all those memories you had when things were easy to forget.
To believe that there's a God and he hates me. Starting to believe that my mom lied about grace and divinity. It hurts like the sun.
And that concludes Redux. I'm Vince Kong. Thank you for listening.